Hi everyone, my name is Don and I am an alcoholic, and I can't help but notice how powerful it is when we say our day count out loud, because it is in direct opposition to the thought that we can drink safely. Like, to be able to, there's so much humility, and I really think that when we say that we've got one day and 2 days and keep going and going, there's something powerful in that. You may not realize it now. I also couldn't help but hear the person tell the newcomer what a miracle it is. And it really is. I'm going to talk about step eight, and I'm going to read in the big book. There's only two lines. When it talks about step eight, and when it refers to step eight, it refers to step eight and nine. So it says, after step seven, and after step seven, what am I doing? And in step seven, God, I'm giving you all of me. Because what I was able to finally see about me and see about you, I haven't always seen the entire truth. That's why I love meetings that say the set aside prayer, set aside everything I think I know, because my mind wants to do nothing but judge, wants to do nothing but hold on to what was done to me and make other people pay. If the person who I perceive wronged me, somebody's got to pay. And then something miraculous happens, and all of a sudden, I get to step eight. And now all of a sudden, it's a miracle because I'm willing to go out into the universe and right the wrongs that I did. See, I never wanted to look at my wrongs because I was too prideful. And I was holding on to what you did. And it's interesting because now in recovery, when I do harm, it feels really uncomfortable. But see, I used to blame you. Anytime I felt uncomfortable, it had nothing to do with my behavior. I was convinced it was all your fault. So in step eight, it says now we need more action. So, starting from step five, we're taking action, right? And so now I'm at step eight, and it says, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at step eight and nine. So, I have faith that I can finally live a life feeling free, that I'm not living my life. And we hear the bondage of self. And what does that mean? Fear, uncertainty, anger. All of a sudden, I start experiencing that in step four and step five, and I want to keep that. See, I don't want to go back to how it was. That every little thing pissed me off, every little thing agitated me. I'm believing that I'm not good enough. I'm believing that you and I are separate, and all I'm doing is judging you, and I'm jealous of you, and I'm competing with you. That's what happens when I live my life separated from you. But there's something that happens because in step five, we're very intimate with this God that we never want anything to do with. And all of a sudden, we're sitting quietly with God and we're sitting quietly with another human being, which also is something that most of us never thought we would do because we're too busy trying to protect ourselves and staying away from people because we think we're going to get hurt. And all of a sudden, we're very intimate with God and another human being. And we realize that, wait a minute, there's nothing wrong with that. That, wait a minute, I feel free. That, wait a minute, I feel connected. I want more of that. So it says that we look at steps eight and nine. It says we have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took our inventory. So the eight-step list has already been created when we did step four. So in step four, I have this list, but the first list, you're on my list because of what you did to me or what you didn't do for me. That's why you're on the list. But as I go through this work, I realize, wait a minute, I'm no more, no less, because the same things that I'm mad about that you did, I did myself. And all of a sudden, there's this humility. There's a bowing of my head when I realize, wait a minute, most of humanity is selfish and self-centered. It could care less about another human being. And I was able to see my selfishness and self-centeredness. I'm not loving me. I'm not being kind to me. I'm not caring about my welfare, but I want you to do that for me. Well, how selfish is that? I want you to live your life and live my life too. But I can't see anything relying on my thinking. And so in step four, we look at the list again from an entirely different perspective. Who did I cause harm to? Where was I self-seeking? Where was I selfish? Where was I dishonest? And see, dishonesty can roll off of my tongue without even realizing it because I'm so busy wanting to be a great big such a much that I will lie my way through life because my whole life is contingent upon what you think about me. And so I have this list. Donna, whom did you harm? That's the first time that, see, the miracle starts when we get here to be able to raise our hand and say, I've got one day. And it's really humble when we say we have one day back. Do everything you can do to speak out loud this thing that doesn't want you to be honest, this thing that doesn't want you to be free. And so I look at my inventories. And I get to see my entire life was based on getting what I want because I feel so empty inside. But see, no one ever told me that what I'm looking for is within. So I'm doing what the rest of the human race is doing, living life outside, and everything outside of me has to be okay. And it's not working. I'm getting pissed. I'm getting fearful. I'm getting angry. I'm making more demands because I think it's something that you need to do more of for me. And none of it is working. And then I get to see in that belief system, all I'm doing is hurting a lot of people. I couldn't even see how I was hurting people with my drinking. I never once thought what my mom was going through when she didn't know where I was at for 4 and 5 days in a row. The only thing my selfish self thought about was what she was going to say when I rang the doorbell because she took the key away. I only worried about what she was going to say. And I was in so full of fear, I probably stayed out more because I was afraid to go home. All of that changes when I put pen to paper. I start, there's something, they say God enters our hearts, not our minds. All of a sudden, the within has more depth and weight and more power than my thinking. And I realized that my thinking was never based on any truth. God set aside everything I know and enabled me to see the truth. And so I have this list. And I have to look outside because, see, I also was so selfish. And I'll use an example that a lot of us, when it came to relationships, I could care less if a guy had a girlfriend. My need to have somebody in my life superseded any, not any, but most morals. If he had a girlfriend, I don't want to know about it. If he told me, well, you know, me and my girlfriend, we're having problems, I wouldn't even question it. I would believe it because it was something that I wanted. So I convinced myself that this guy was being honest. Now, the thing about that is we're more connected to one another than we think we are. See, I can sense when something's not right, when something's a little shady. But see, because I'm afraid to know the truth, because I might not get what I want, I pretend that I don't see it, that I don't hear it. That all changes as I go through this work, because I realize, wait a minute, while I was demanding that this man spends money on me and takes me out for dinner and buys me clothes, wait a minute, he's got kids. He's got a wife. I don't know if that wife is crying her eyes out, but I'm expecting him to give me money. I'm taking food off of their table. So his family goes on the list. I don't think about how I make amends to them because I'm on step eight. All people who I've harmed. I was in a relationship with a guy, and I was so sick in that relationship that my family was so concerned about me, they went on the list. I was harming my family because I was so codependent. I couldn't see that my family was so worried that I was settling for crumbs in this relationship. I was doing anything because I needed this man in my life to be okay, and my family's watching me and they are hurting for me. But see, I can't even see that. See, I've got blinders on. I can't see how I'm hurting people. They go on the list. Now, there's some people when I was doing inventory that weren't on the list because they had nothing to do with the resentment. They had nothing to do with relationships. You know who those people were? Creditors. Oh, I was real big about borrowing money and slow to pay. Oh, wait a minute. So if I'm part of the population that doesn't pay their credit bills on time, is that why interest rates go up high? Because the credit card companies want their money one way or another. So maybe I'm adding to interest rate going up because I'm part of the population that says I'm not paying. So I have this list, and that's why it's so important when you do a fifth step, you pay attention to the person that you're in that fifth step with because you're being guided on how to listen to a fifth step and what to take notice of. And so I was told, Donna, look around that harm. Who else was impacted by your behavior? And they went on the list. See, by this time, I'm not worried. I'm not afraid because there's something powerful in that fifth step when you're sitting in there with God and another human being. Your ego doesn't have a lot of power to make you afraid. See, my mind wants to make me afraid if I'm just relying on self-will thinking. My mind will say things like, but then what? But what if? And it won't make me do anything. It won't allow me. It won't even allow me to write the inventory. Real powerful. You start hearing self-talk back to you, and everything it says is in direct opposition to being free. See, don't get it twisted. I think that everything that we went through, all that pain, all that misery, all that despair, was not to just sit up in here in the rooms and live a life being okay. I think this is the entryway to go home. And what do I mean by going home? We're spiritual beings. Has nothing to do with what you want to call your God. But see, when I came in here, I didn't understand why I was here in AA until I saw the people that were here. There was something about them that intrigued me. It wasn't everybody, but there were those people that had something that I was gravitating to. Then this 12-step program that is used by so many different 12-step programs. There's even a 12-step for Christians. We were presented with this spiritual approach to be free and to realize that we were never separated from God, never separated from one another. And so I get that list. And I add to the list. After I go back, that's why I don't know whoever said burn your inventory. I don't know about burn your inventory because you've got information in that inventory that you need for step eight. You got stuff on that inventory you need for step nine because you need to be clear of the harm. And your harm is written on that fourth step. So I go through my inventory. See, now the inventory doesn't scare me. See, you can't make. The truth will set you free. See that I used to think that was a snappy one-liner. Oh, the truth will set you free. You know, there's a whole bunch of snappy one-liners I heard throughout my life until I started experiencing it. All of a sudden, I'm not filled of guilt and shame of the things that I've done because I spoke it into the universe and realized that I've been forgiven. And I realize that the people that are on my list, maybe they don't have the same opportunity we have to be free See, I used to think the only way that I could be freed was that people had to apologize to for what they did to me. There's a whole segment of the population that still believes that. See, I don't believe that anymore because of the work I did in AA. But guess what? Maybe what I can do is for the people that still believe the only way they can be free is by hearing an apology from me. I can do that for them. I can do that. And then perhaps even too, the people on my list, they get an opportunity to see how easy it is to apologize. See, most people are too afraid to admit what they did to another human being. Why? The mind. But then what? But what if? We demonstrate. Goes back to step three. Who should bear witness to God's power, God's love, God's way of life? Not just us, but the people around us. So all of a sudden, writing that list is not a scary proposition. It's a scary proposition when I'm on step one. See, because when I'm on step one, my thinking is still wanting to be my God. And it wants to talk me out of this program, wants me to say that this is a cult, wants me to say, oh, it's too much God. Well, damn, Donna, who removed the obsession to drink? Not you. The big book says wholesale miracles are taking place. I don't know about you, but I am not in the position of creating any miracles. See, sometimes we got to this big book, and for the you newcomers, please sit across from somebody and go through this book so you can give yourself permission to finally understand what is wrong with you. And what is wrong with you is you suffer from an illness. You're not a bad human being. But if you drank like me, the more choice I didn't have whether I would drink or not, my behavior matched it. The more I drank, the more of a liar I became. The more I drank, the more unaccountable. The more I drank, the more manipulative. I started to hate me, but I was stuck because I couldn't stop drinking. But once that problem was removed, I get to see, wait a minute, I'm not morally worse off than the rest of the human race. I suffer from an illness that had me in its grip that I couldn't see any other way to be. And then I come in and I see you all that have the same, suffer from the same illness. But wait a minute, how come you guys look freer than I am? Do I want what you have? Are you willing to go to any length to get it? I didn't know what the it was when I came in here, but I saw it. And I go through this work and I hear things like the problem was removed, the problem was relieved, the problem disappeared. All of a sudden, that last day on August 5th, 2000 started to make sense. A miracle has already begun. I have this list, my creditors, God. And so, how do I get my list? See, I believe that this is a spiritual approach. So, when I get to step eight, God, please enable me to see. Who needs to be on this list so I can go and make amends to them? And then I put pen to paper. See, when it came to the creditors, I was so slow to pay that my creditors sold my account to other creditors, sold it to other creditors, sold it to other creditors. This is powerful. So I'm living at home when I come out of treatment, and I got my credit report. That was a miracle that I even had the willingness to even get the damn report. Sorry, I didn't mean to curse. See, I think sometimes we don't, it's the little things that are powerful. For the mere fact that I had the willingness to look at the report, see, stuff like that used to scare me. So I have this report. I'm sitting in my mother's dining room. See, we don't know who's bearing witness to the power that we get tapped into. My mom. Who didn't want to give me a key to get into her house, watched me. Watched me. Pore over that report, trying to make sense out of it. And I didn't realize that her three credit cards was owned by one bank. See, because I never really cared to look. There were a lot of people I owed money to. And you know what I would do? I would just duck and dodge. Just duck and dodge. See, that's why when I would go to bed at night when I was using and drinking, I'd go to bed like this because I was running out of people. I can't go here. Oh my God, I can't. I owe them. And that doesn't sound like a normal way to live. But I lived like that. I just kept finding new routes and new stories, new lives. See, I never want to go back to that. And it's crazy that my mind never let me see that that was not a normal way of life. So I'm willing to make this list. I'm willing to make this list because I was able to see for the first time where I was at fault. I was no different than you. The people that I wanted to care about me, I realized that I didn't care much for people. I used people the same way I used alcohol for a sense of ease and comfort. And I saw that when I did my sex inventory. I stayed in relationships because I didn't want to be alone. I stayed in relationships because I needed someone to blame why I was so miserable. And I was afraid to let you leave me because if you left me and I was still miserable, I wouldn't know what to do. So I would jump in another relationship. Don't know how to communicate. And all I'm doing is making people suspicious, doubtful of me. All because I don't know how to connect with the universe. And we don't even realize the inability to have honest conversation does nothing but make that other person feel uncomfortable. They think it's something they did my whole life. Well, if I'm not telling you what's wrong with me, what are you doing? Oh, I wonder if it's something I did. Oh my God, did I do something to harm her? I couldn't even see what I was doing to the rest of the people around me, making them think that there was something that they needed to change because I didn't know how to speak up and I didn't know how to commit. When I started seeing that kind of stuff on my fourth step and shared it in step five, I knew I needed to go back to the human race because I knew what I felt like when I felt that people had harmed me. I wasn't in peace.
2 minutes.
It's just a list. Write the list. Don't throw away your inventory. And another thing that this is funny, I've done so many fifth steps. When a person saw in their fifth step that they caused harm, I would say, okay, write an eight. Write an eight. And so when they was reading their inventory, they would say to me, write an eight, right? I'm like, yep, write an eight. Because you start seeing, yeah, I owe this person an apology. I owe them an amends. And you make a list of all people. It doesn't mean that all the people are going to want to see you. So don't even worry about it. You don't know what's going to happen in step nine. And we'll talk about that next week. It was just as powerful to people that didn't want to take an amends from me, because what did it do? It crushed my ego because I realized that I wasn't a great big such a much that they didn't want to see me. I was like, damn. So I want to thank you guys for allowing me to share on step eight. And it's interesting, early on, I never thought I can do a whole share on step eight. So just stay with us and just stay persistent and just practice. And thank you for allowing me to share.